Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Inglés. Nivel intermedio. Comprensión oral. Tarea 1. Escuche la grabación. Elija la mejor opción. A, B o C. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
There have been man-made canals in Britain for centuries, but canal building only took off after 1776 when the Bridgewater Canal in the northwest of England demonstrated their potential. Canals reached London rather late. It was not until 1801 that the Grand Junction Canal, much later a part of the famous Grand Union Canal, opened a branch to Paddington. It brought Birmingham and the north of England rather closer by water to a large part of London. Canal boats were at first crewed by land-based men, but as the railways began to compete with water transport in the 1830s and 1840s, costs had to be reduced, and the family-operated boats took over much of the long-distance trade. Families lived in extremely cramped conditions and had no other home. By today's standards, the living conditions were appalling, but the largely outdoor life was less unhealthy than that of the 19th century urban poor living in crowded slums. One of the most surprising cargoes on the London canals was natural ice, imported from the cold mountains of Norway. Ice was imported in large quantities from the mid-19th century until the early 1900s. One of the leading importers was Carlo Gatti, an immigrant from Switzerland, who built up a large business in the trade. Gatti built 2 huge ice wells beside Battlebridge Basin on the Regent's Canal near King's Cross, and a large warehouse above ground to cover them, and it's thought stack even more ice above ground. The building that was once Gatti's ice warehouse, with its wells beneath, is now the London Canal Museum. The adjoining basin is now something of an urban beauty spot, hidden away from the busy district that is King's Cross today, and home to many colourful canal boats. The museum building was substantially rebuilt after ice imports ceased in 1905, as a stables for the ice cart horses that now delivered man-made ice made possible by the march of technology. The fine Victorian roof and the colourful exhibits combine to make a place of great charm and character. The museum tells the story of the London canals and the people who worked on them. Visitors can go inside a canal boat cabin and wonder what it must have been like to bring up a string of children in a tiny cabin. They can also peer down into the huge, partly excavated ice well and see an exhibition about the forgotten trade that kept Victorian London cool and that is now hardly remembered, but for the heritage preserved in this unique museum.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
There have been man-made canals in Britain for centuries, but canal building only took off after 1776, when the Bridgewater Canal in the northwest of England demonstrated their potential. Canals reached London rather late. It was not until 1801 that the Grand Junction Canal, much later a part of the famous Grand Union Canal, opened a branch to Paddington. It brought Birmingham and the north of England rather closer by water to a large part of London. Canal boats were at first crewed by land-based men, but as the railways began to compete with water transport in the 1830s and 1840s, costs had to be reduced, and the family-operated boats took over much of the long-distance trade. Families lived in extremely cramped conditions and had no other home. By today's standards, the living conditions were appalling, but the largely outdoor life was less unhealthy than that of the 19th century urban poor living in crowded slums. One of the most surprising cargoes on the London canals was natural ice, imported from the cold mountains of Norway. Ice was imported in large quantities from the mid-19th century until the early 1900s. One of the leading importers was Carlo Gatti, an immigrant from Switzerland, who built up a large business in the trade. Gatti built two huge ice wells beside Battlebridge Basin on the Regent's Canal near King's Cross, and a large warehouse above ground to cover them, and it's thought stack even more ice above ground. The building that was once Gatti's ice warehouse, with its wells beneath, is now the London Canal Museum. The adjoining basin is now something of an urban beauty spot, hidden away from the busy district that is King's Cross today, and home to many colourful canal boats. The museum building was substantially rebuilt after ice imports ceased in 1905, as a stables for the ice cart horses that now delivered man-made ice made possible by the march of technology. The fine Victorian roof and the colourful exhibits combine to make a place of great charm and character. The museum tells the story of the London canals and the people who worked on them. Visitors can go inside a canal boat cabin and wonder what it must have been like to bring up a string of children in a tiny cabin. They can also peer down into the huge, partly excavated ice well and see an exhibition about the forgotten trade that kept Victorian London cool and that is now hardly remembered, but for the heritage preserved in this unique museum.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
There have been man-made canals in Britain for centuries, but canal building only took off after 1776, when the Bridgewater Canal in the northwest of England demonstrated their potential. Canals reached London rather late. It was not until 1801 that the Grand Junction Canal, much later a part of the famous Grand Union Canal, opened a branch to Paddington. It brought Birmingham and the north of England rather closer by water to a large part of London. Canal boats were at first crewed by land-based men, but as the railways began to compete with water transport in the 1830s and 1840s, costs had to be reduced, and the family-operated boats took over much of the long-distance trade. Families lived in extremely cramped conditions and had no other home. By today's standards, the living conditions were appalling, but the largely outdoor life was less unhealthy than that of the 19th century urban poor living in crowded slums. One of the most surprising cargoes on the London canals was natural ice, imported from the cold mountains of Norway. Ice was imported in large quantities from the mid-19th century until the early 1900s. One of the leading importers was Carlo Gatti, an immigrant from Switzerland, who built up a large business in the trade. Gatti built two huge ice wells beside Battlebridge Basin on the Regent's Canal near King's Cross, and a large warehouse above ground to cover them, and it's thought stack even more ice above ground. The building that was once Gatti's ice warehouse, with its wells beneath, is now the London Canal Museum. The adjoining basin is now something of an urban beauty spot, hidden away from the busy district that is King's Cross today, and home to many colourful canal boats. The museum building was substantially rebuilt after ice imports ceased in 1905 as a stables for the ice cart horses that now delivered man-made ice made possible by the march of technology. The fine Victorian roof and the colourful exhibits combine to make a place of great charm and character. The museum tells the story of the London canals and the people who worked on them. Visitors can go inside a canal boat cabin and wonder what it must have been like to bring up a string of children in a tiny cabin. They can also peer down into the huge, partly excavated ice well and see an exhibition about the forgotten trade that kept Victorian London cool and that is now hardly remembered, but for the heritage preserved in this unique museum.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Escuche la grabación. Indique sus respuestas en la casilla correspondiente. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
Extract 1.
Australia Day is an annual public holiday that takes place in Australia on January 26th. The date marks the arrival of Captain Arthur Phillip and the First Fleet. The fleet of 11 British ships arrived at Port Jackson, now Sydney, in 1788 to claim the land for Britain and establish a penal colony. The anniversary of the fleet's arrival was celebrated early on by some of the colonists. The first large celebration took place on the 30th anniversary in 1818. At this time, Australia Day was known as Foundation Day or First Landing Day.
Extract 2.
Foundation Day was celebrated under various names, including Anniversary Day, for over 100 years before Australia Day became a public holiday in 1946. From 1946 to 1995, the holiday was observed on the Monday closest to January 26, allowing Australians to enjoy a long weekend. Today, the public holiday is on January 26, regardless of the day it falls on. Schools and government offices are closed.
Extract 3.
The Australian flag is prevalent throughout the world on Australia Day. It consists of a blue field with a red and white Union Jack in the top left corner. Beneath the Union Jack is the 7-point Commonwealth Star. It has 6 stars that represent the states and 1 for the territories. On the right-hand side are the 5 stars of the Southern Cross constellation. This is a group of stars that is highly visible from the southern hemisphere. Australia's flag colors, red, white, and blue, or natural colors, green and gold, are often worn on Australia Day. You will also see people sporting the official flower, the golden wattle, or other unofficial symbols such as the koala or kangaroo.
Extract 4.
To celebrate Australia Day, people often have barbecues with family members and friends. Many Aussies go to the beach or park for a picnic and game of cricket. Some people attend official events such as parades and concerts. In Sydney, Aussies enjoy the world's oldest sailing regatta since 1837, followed by the Sydney Harbour fireworks. Not everyone in Australia celebrates Australia Day. For some Australians, January 26th is a day of mourning. In fact, Aboriginals call it Invasion Day. They get together on this day to mourn ancestors who lost their land and rights.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
Australia Day is an annual public holiday that takes place in Australia on January 26th. The date marks the arrival of Captain Arthur Phillip and the First Fleet. The fleet of 11 British ships arrived at Port Jackson, now Sydney, in 1788 to claim the land for Britain and establish a penal colony. The anniversary of the fleet's arrival was celebrated early on by some of the colonists. The first large celebration took place on the 30th anniversary in 1818. At this time, Australia Day was known as Foundation Day or First Landing Day.
Extract 2.
Foundation Day was celebrated under various names, including Anniversary Day, for over 100 years before Australia Day became a public holiday in 1946. From 1946 to 1995, the holiday was observed on the Monday closest to January 26th, allowing Australians to enjoy a long weekend. Today, the public holiday is on January 26th, regardless of the day it falls on. Schools and government offices are closed.
Extract 3.
The Australian flag is prevalent throughout the world on Australia Day. It consists of a blue field with a red and white Union Jack in the top left corner. Beneath the Union Jack is the 7-point Commonwealth Star. It has 6 stars that represent the states and 1 for the territories. On the right-hand side are the 5 stars of the Southern Cross constellation. This is a group of stars that is highly visible from the Southern Hemisphere. Australia's flag colors, red, white, and blue, or natural colors, green and gold, are often worn on Australia Day. You will also see people sporting the official flower, the golden wattle, or other unofficial symbols, such as the koala or kangaroo.
Extract 4.
To celebrate Australia Day, people often have barbecues with family members and friends. Many Aussies go to the beach or park for a picnic and game of cricket. Some people attend official events such as parades and concerts. In Sydney, Aussies enjoy the world's oldest sailing regatta since 1837, followed by the Sydney Harbour fireworks. Not everyone in Australia celebrates Australia Day. For some Australians, January 26th is a day of mourning. In fact, Aboriginals call it Invasion Day. They get together on this day to mourn ancestors who lost their land and rights.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
Australia Day is an annual public holiday that takes place in Australia on January 26th. The date marks the arrival of Captain Arthur Phillip and the First Fleet. The fleet of 11 British ships arrived at Port Jackson, now Sydney, in 1788 to claim the land for Britain and establish a penal colony. The anniversary of the fleet's arrival was celebrated early on by some of the colonists. The first large celebration took place on the 30th anniversary in 1818. At this time, Australia Day was known as Foundation Day or First Landing Day.
Extract 2.
Foundation Day was celebrated under various names, including Anniversary Day, for over 100 years before Australia Day became a public holiday in 1946. From 1946 to 1995, the holiday was observed on the Monday closest to January 26th, allowing Australians to enjoy a long weekend. Today, the public holiday is on January 26th, regardless of the day it falls on. Schools and government offices are closed.
Extract 3.
The Australian flag is prevalent throughout the world on Australia Day. It consists of a blue field with a red and white Union Jack in the top left corner. Beneath the Union Jack is the 7-point Commonwealth Star. It has 6 stars that represent the states and 1 for the territories. On the right-hand side are the 5 stars of the Southern Cross constellation. This is a group of stars that is highly visible from the Southern Hemisphere. Australia's flag colors, red, white, and blue, or natural colors, green and gold, are often worn on Australia Day. You will also see people sporting the official flower, the golden wattle, or other unofficial symbols, such as the koala or kangaroo.
Extract 4.
To celebrate Australia Day, people often have barbecues with family members and friends. Many Aussies go to the beach or park for a picnic and game of cricket. Some people attend official events such as parades and concerts. In Sydney, Aussies enjoy the world's oldest sailing regatta since 1837, followed by the Sydney Harbour fireworks. Not everyone in Australia celebrates Australia Day. For some Australians, January 26th is a day of mourning. In fact, Aboriginals call it Invasion Day. They get together on this day to mourn ancestors who lost their land and rights.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2.